history, graphic tees, and America. Three things I love and three things you will find at LibertyManiacs.com. Liberty Maniacs is the place for freedom lovers who march to the beat of their own drum. Their mission is to serve up truly unique merchandise for those who not only cherish liberty, but also wear their individuality with pride. Owner Dan McCall is the person behind Liberty Maniacs, and as an artist and designer who loves liberty and freedom, he started this venture over two decades ago to create something you can't find anywhere else. Please check out LibertyManiacs.com today.
Get that baby!
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
You've heard me say that before.
And you'll be walking slowly out the door.
I'd never need to watch it again.
And what's going to happen next?
Actual actors in the movie. Cream corn tonight. Cream corn tonight. I'm all for this.
Syphilis. Ben Franklin invented it. I don't know why we even had the freaking thing, to be honest.
That should be good corn time.
That's good corn time.
Really?
I can take you downtown, sweat it out in the light.
Daylight is different depending on what part of the U.S. you are, no matter what, so who cares?
Hello!
M-O-O-N. That spells deaf and dumb.
You didn't say the magic word.
Help us to stand.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Ooh, I'm sorry to interrupt my name. Happy Saturday to you, Matt.
You're welcome back. You were with the Material Girl up in the Emerald City.
With her for a few days, and a few days in Seattle for a couple shows, which was nice. Seattle was actually kind of sunny while I was there, which was interesting.
Good.
And then took the train up to Vancouver and saw a show there. That was supposed to be opening night last summer, so that was my ticket.
I remember
opening night. That's now, 9 months later, or whatever it happens to be.
So the opening night that was canceled in Vancouver, that was the reschedule.
Yeah.
Was the Seattle show also?
The Seattle show is supposed to be Vancouver, Seattle. And then obviously everything got changed around. And so I just held on to my original tickets because they were good tickets. So,
oh, yeah. I saw your pictures that you posted. And I got to say, I was really impressed with Madonna's wardrobe changes that she put on many different outfits, like at how old is she? Like
65. Or she's going to be turning 66. Yeah.
Okay. So 65. Yeah. And she's still doing like the Mick Jagger thing where she's changing and she's giving you your money worth, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's interesting because she, for a couple of the shows, I had the Immaculate VIP package. And so you got to take a tour backstage. And so, and Tony, her dresser, came out both times, and I've met him before, but he'll kind of share what it's like. He's her personal dresser. And even he said, even at this show, the tour has been going on for months, but she said, this costume's not doing it for me anymore. We need something more different.
Attention to detail.
Yeah. And
there,
yeah. And so everything, and she even did the same for one of the dancers' costumes. Like, that's just not, we need something more impressive here. And so she's changing things all the time. And she's like,
I wish comedians did that.
A stickler for detail. So it's interesting because she also knows that for everything good and for everything bad, all roads lead to her. And, you know, so it's not like, you know, like, oh, the dancers are, it's all Madonna's fault. So, but.
She takes ownership.
It was good. This is the first time I've actually been on the stage. So
that's so exciting. What arena did she play at in Seattle?
In Seattle, Climate Pledge Arena, which is right in kind of that Space Needle Park.
Right.
And then Rogers Arena in Vancouver.
Roger. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. And you said that. I mentioned the wardrobe changes and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Does the stage change a lot? Like, is there different backdrops during the show?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's always something, and this is our biggest stage yet. And they have kind of a circle-ish stage at the
biggest
front.
Stage yet, like that you've ever seen?
That Madonna's up. This is her biggest square footage stage. Yeah. So
wow.
And she has catwalks all throughout that almost go to the, you know, about two-thirds of the way the arena, and it's kind of set up New York style, because they call it downtown, uptown, east side, and west side for these kind of different mini stages. So first night I was in the pit, so you're kind of between two stages, so
yeah,
you're literally 2 feet from her.
Yeah, for sure. Time.
Yeah, and then the other two shows were front row at the front. So
now, is this
I can't complain.
Is this her, because I know she's getting up there in years, but and people like her perform forever, so I'm not worried. But is this her last tour on this large scale, or is this just business as usual?
I at one point I thought it would kind of be, but
she's not. This isn't. She's not saying it's not like
no,
Elton John this, 2 years ago where he's like, no, "This is it."
She'll never say that. And this is
oh, okay.
First,
she won't.
This is her first greatest hits tour she's ever done. So audiences are coming in for it, you know, and yeah. Obviously not Taylor Swift size, but yeah. And then, cause I think part of people are saying this could be the last time we see her, you know? And so, but she lives for, I mean, that's, she gets her energy there. So.
Oh yeah. Okay. So, where's the next, you're seeing her next in Los Angeles,
at the Forum.
And she, tonight she's performing at the Forum. That's a blast from the past. Or, she's performing tonight in San Francisco tonight, being February 28th, not Saturday, folks.
What are you talking about? Of course it's Saturday.
Vegas tomorrow. So is this the first leg of the tour, or is this
the
entire
tour? This is the
last. This is the last.
Yeah, because it was the tour
started in Europe.
Yeah, she started in Europe this time, and I think she'll kind of go through in between Miami and Mexico City. So I'm scheduled for 3 LA shows. I'm not for any more at this point.
She's doing 6 in LA.
Yeah, so I'm not doing that many. But
that's a lot of shows.
I did 6 in LA for Madame X at the Wiltern, which was nice. But
oh, that's very intimate. But so I didn't mean to interrupt you. But 6 LA shows, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah. So she pulls them in.
Oh, the Kia Forum, is that what they call the Forum
now?
The Kia Forum.
I just call it the Forum. Well, you know, before I had been there, because the only thing I knew about the Forum was when she did the Reinvention tour. She kind of did a Truth or Dare part two, kind of behind the scenes documentary, and she did opening night at the Forum. I was like, ooh, I was so excited to see what the Forum was going to be like. And my friend's like, oh no, it's kind of shitty.
And this
was before they redid it. And when they redid it, it was kind of nicer, but it is still small, and you know, it's not the best part of town. And
it's not.
And I was like, so part of me is like, because it was supposed to be a couple shows at the Forum and a couple at the Staples Center or whatever they call it now. And obviously Staples Center I enjoy more because it's just easier to get out of downtown and stuff like that. In Inglewood, there's just nothing.
No, it's not. And it's a dated stadium. Like the basketball team stopped playing there like 20 years ago.
Yeah. But anyway.
When you said the greatest hits tour, mm-hmm. it reminded me of... maybe like 2010, I saw Bob Dylan play in LA. And I'm not a big Bob Dylan fan, but somebody like had tickets. Like I remember I just went with somebody. Yeah. And the greatest hits, he's known not for his performances. You know, he has a terrible voice. It's all about the lyrics. And I think Bob Dylan's an artist that his songs are more famous by other people like Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton and everything. So you're like, well, at least we'll hear Blowing in the Wind and songs that Hendrix did. He didn't play any of his classics, and he just played all new stuff. And I'm like, I get you want to play some new stuff.
Yeah.
You don't want to play the same old things every night. And if you have new albums, you want to play these new songs.
Yeah.
But like to play none, I've never saw an audience. I've been to a pretty fair amount of concerts in my life.
Yeah.
With such low energy. They were like, what? I think we left. We did leave, actually.
Forget
it. And it was at a smaller place. It was at forget the name of it, but it's on, you probably know where it is, it's on a Sunset Boulevard near like the CNN building. It's the Palladium.
Okay. Yep.
And so it was like smaller, and
yeah,
it could have been such a good experience to see the guy that wrote songs that Hendrix covered, who was a legend that died in 1970, play these songs in modern times, but he did it, and you're like, oh, this is so bad. So I love when Madonna obviously is doing it. Billy Joel, that's all he does.
Yeah.
They know they have such a catalog. Like, give the people what they want to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. So she
and her new shit's good too.
Yeah. But usually she just does the new album and then a few hits here and there. And then, and you can tell the audience, you're like, whatever. And then she'll do like a prayer and it kind of goes off the rails. I mean, you know, goes nuts and stuff like that. But so I think people really appreciate that. And she's just, like I said, she feeds off that energy. So, and she seemed to be having a good time. It's interesting because I had a friend that saw her in Chicago, and she felt like her concert, she saw Madonna was not happy or having a good time. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Oh, no.
Because she seemed to be all smiles. I mean, you can tell when Madonna's faking it.
She was in the zone. in Seattle and Vancouver.
So she was kind of, I don't know if in there, but yeah, she seemed to be having a great time. So
yeah, no, that's so cool. And I was reading something last night because I'm a big Michael Jackson fan musically, not so much just personal life, but I went down a wormhole of Neverland Ranch and like what it looks like now. And they were talking about his previous court cases. And a lot of these articles, there were quotes from Madonna because I guess they were friends in real life.
And yeah, she has a whole interlude about him where the pictures
tour?
And stuff like that.
Oh,
and then
wow.
She has a Michael Jackson dancer and somebody dressed up like her and like a virgin dancing together and stuff like that.
And
she has all these pictures of them hanging out, but anyway, go ahead.
That's awesome. But just to your point, she defended him in a lot of things and was talking about specifically, this is 2003, but the Martin Bashir interview, how like, you know, she's like, God's going to get revenge and he was an exploitation. And a lot of that's true. He was exploited a lot. And obviously I'm not defending anything he's done that was wrong. But I do appreciate Madonna sticking by her guns. I mean, because it's those two. They're the biggest icons that have come since, I mean, the Beatles. I can't think of anybody bigger than Michael Jackson and Madonna. I mean, Elton John maybe, but like, I mean, it's kind of cool to see those two icons knowing that they were friends. Yeah. And Madonna was, or Lady Gaga, not Madonna, was going to buy the Neverland Ranch. And I'm thinking, because that thing sold for $22 million. It was originally $100 million, and nobody would buy it. So they kept knocking it down.
That's a lot of land for...
It's 2,700 acres.
Yeah. So.
And I feel like they could turn it into a Graceland, and I think that's what Lady Gaga wanted, to make it like a tribute to him, and they're like, no, we just want a private seller. And you're like, well, that's why you lost $80 million.
Yeah.
That's not what people want. You know, it's got a history there. The only time people are going to buy it because it's Jacko.
Yeah.
But anyway, Madonna, it was cool to see that history of them. And she's defended him multiple times.
Yeah.
In the news and things like that.
But I had a good time. I wasn't quite sure what to think going into this tour because I'm like, oh, this is a little different. But
you were a little skeptical.
But yeah, I had a good time.
Well, we're glad you're back.
Thank you.
That's
temporarily.
Temporarily until the next Madonna show.
Yeah.
That was Madonna tour reporting from Robert Patterson. Familiar segment to all you folks out there. What you've been watching? Robert, I have been watching crap.
What? So please tell me what crap you've been watching.
True Detective season 5.
All right. It's okay. I did finish that. I couldn't finish it in Canada for some reason. They have different channels somewhere. And when I got back, I caught up on the last episode. And
you know, the producer of that, Nick Pozzolato, whatever his name is, the guy that created the original first two seasons, posted how like terrible it is. And it's like, dude, have a little class. Like, sorry they didn't ask you to do a season 10 years later, but it's not terrible. But the show has been getting, it's the highest rated True Detective season ever.
Yeah.
But it's like split people down the middle. It's very polarizing. And I think it's because it doesn't feel like a True Detective if you watch the other ones, but it's good in its own right. And it could have been its own thing, and they've just renewed it again.
Yeah.
So I feel like True Detective hasn't been getting the love it should.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it, and literally, because I thought this season was fine. You know, like I didn't love it. I kind of like some of the aspects, and there's some pieces I'm like, well, I don't know. But I think it was elevated. I think if you took Jodie Foster out and put somebody else in, it would not hit that level of
you want Clarice
watchability. Star, right? Yeah. And she's just, I don't know. She's still. I should say surprises you might be the wrong word, but she makes choices that just make you keep watching her, you know.
Yeah.
That you can't, no matter who else is, whatever's going on the screen, you're always watching her, which is great.
Right. No matter how mundane or exciting things are, she's still in the foreground, up front. I mean, and you want to see it.
Yeah.
I watched 30 by 30 documentary on Nature Boy.
Not familiar.
It's about, he was a WWE wrestler, WWF Ric Flair. But talks about how just sad and beaten up you get in that business, and they weren't paid as well. And I don't know, kind of a sad story. Yeah. From Iowa and grew up and it was all this facade, his fame. It was not a person I particularly admire or anything, but just it was a kind of an intriguing introspective on him.
Okay.
And that led me to Dark Side of the Ring season 4, which is about the same subject.
The same thing.
How dark wrestling is and sad.
It seems like, obviously, the entertainment industry in a whole, and I'm going to include wrestling, obviously,
yeah,
has always had this dark side of, we know they chew people up and spit them out, but then there's also the even darker side of the goings on, and that this is what we put up with for entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. Nailed it. I mean, Bobby Driscoll, the original voice of Peter Pan, like, he's buried on a potter's field in Hart Island, New York, just because they spit him out and he became... Yep. On a lighter note, Boardwalk Empire, rewatch that.
Oh, and on a lighter note, Boardwalk Empire.
The darkest. Boardwalk Empire is good, but the gratuitous sex scenes don't hold up well.
Yeah.
Because they only did that so they would, because there was a, I guess, some kind of clause if it were on HBO back in the aughts or late aughts, whatever, they had to include a certain amount of sex scenes so that if distribution fell, they would really be limited of where they could show the, so they couldn't show it on like TBS or something.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that, and it's like, it's just unnecessary. And then I watched In the Shadow of the Moon with Michael C. Hall and a few other guys. It's Philadelphia cop movie about vampires. But I turned it off because it took place in 1988.
I can't connect with this. Is that what you said?
I can't connect. There were so many, the detail was really good. They like made old vending machines and the police cars, you know me and the cops.
Yeah.
And then there was a cutaway and they were like 1996 police cars, supposed to be in the 80s. And I was like,
wait a second.
So I immediately went to IMDb to make sure that like somebody else saw this. And they did. They were like, this is incorrect. And I was like, I'm turning it off. But other than that, it was okay. It was a fun ride.
They should have said it in Boston, of course.
Is that my guy? What about you? You've watched some fun things.
Some random things. Like, I've been busy, you know, before traveling, trying to get ready for traveling. And then sometimes I'm stuck in the hotel watching awful things, too. But so I watched Della, which I've never heard of before. It was a 1965 film starring Joan Crawford. And even though when the movie starts, it has a different title. It's like Royal Bay or something. It was supposed to be a pilot for a TV series that obviously never got off the ground. And for some reason, I've been going down some old Joan Crawford movies. And then, of course, I'm like, well, now I got to do these locations. So it's interesting. The main mansion is actually the Playboy Mansion.
Really?
And I can't tell if it was, I don't know when that Playboy Mansion became Playboy Mansion.
I think it was probably the 60s, right?
Yeah. And so I don't know if that was Playboy Mansion yet or then it became Playboy. Yeah. But I was like, this looks familiar.
That's a good question.
Like, oh, yeah. That's the Playboy Mansion. So, because I needed to watch it for locations, I rewatched A Joyous Christmas.
Which one is this?
It's with Bonnie Bedelia, and it's either Hallmark or Lifetime movie. I saw it over a year ago when we were traveling. It's just like all that was on was bad Christmas movies, and we just got a kick out of that. So I had to rewatch it because I was going to A Joyous Christmas filming locations in Vancouver.
A Joyous Christmas. I love that you watched that in February. Good for you.
Yeah. And then, which I did a rewatch of Midsommar, because I was like, all right, I think I was getting ready to watch Beau Is Afraid, which I'll talk about, but I was like, okay, did I miss, you know, like, let me give it another, cause I didn't like it. Like I liked Hereditary, you know what I mean? And it's just Midsommar's not a fun watch, and not that Hereditary is fun, but it's intriguing. And Midsommar just kind of was like, I don't want to be here, you know?
I remember watching Midsommar when it came out, and the same thing you did. I'm like, I don't really like this.
Yeah.
I was open-minded to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I watched Beau Is Afraid because I'm like, all right, let me make the time to do this. And obviously we know that got super mixed reviews, even more than his kind of previous work. And same thing. I was like, fine. I don't ever feel the need to watch it again. I don't know. I just felt like, to me, Hereditary is kind of almost Shining level of, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A potential new classic, and these follow-ups aren't quite there. And I could be missing something for sure. So I don't know.
Yeah, they're not cutting it close for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Then a Netflix documentary called Lover, Stalker, Killer, which I Stop mostly watch it. Because it's in Nebraska. it's based on a, not based on, but it's a Nebraska murder. Event that happened.
It's a documentary.
So, yeah. So, and of course I'm like, where's that location? You know, cause obviously they do B roll and stuff like that. So, yeah, I would recommend check it, you know, not just, I mostly watched it just because it took place here. And it's interesting because I remember it being on the news, but I didn't know the level of craziness this particular person had, until, you know, the news, you get like a 60-90 second, you know, this happened or whatever, and like, okay, and this really, you know, deep dives into what was going on, or like, oh my gosh, what a crazy situation.
Yeah,
as you can tell by the title, but
oh yeah.
But yeah, so I'd recommend it. They did a really good job, so
I'll look out for that for sure.
Stuck in the hotel watching because they didn't have very many movie channels. And then in Canada, you can't always access your usual stuff because you're different, out of the different country, different access. So I watched kind of a couple, I say oldies. So Scarface was on, and watched that a couple years ago. And then this time I was like, what was Michelle Pfeiffer doing? She has like no trouble just leaving one guy for the next and like moving, like, okay. Pack your stuff. I'm like, all right.
When he goes to the pool, he's like, one scene, she's like, I don't fuck around with the help. And then he's like, I got things lined up. And she's like, what about Frank? And you're like, oh, yeah. I guess you are just going to, whatever.
And then the Cuban guy that just gets in bed, like, we have to go tonight. Like,
okay.
All right.
All right. No.
Let me get my bag. I've not watched this forever, but I watched The Fugitive.
I didn't kill my wife.
Yeah, so it's funny because my remembrance is like, I think you just remember. Hold up? It's I don't remember it like I thought, because I think you would kind of remember the opening scenes and one middle scene and the end. And I was like, it is more this solve your own. It's not chase. I think that's what we remember, and that's kind of how it was sold. But I was like, oh, there's a lot more kind of going on than I remember. So it's actually okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good, yeah, I should say, but you know, but it was just like, it's like, oh, I don't quite remember it being this elongated of how he had to do this and then do that and so forth. And you have to obviously.
Yeah, like when Kimball's in the hospital and then he hangs up, leaves like the phone trace and everything. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you said, solve your own mystery, your own murder. And it's, I watched that not too recently as well. And I thought the same thing you did. I was like, oh, it's not so much like Tommy Lee Jones just chasing him through pipes.
Yeah, run. I don't care.
It's constructed more. And it is good. I think it's good.
Yeah. So, and then only because I'm getting ready to do locations.
Yes.
The When a Stranger Calls remake from 2006. Oh. Oof.
Yeah, that's a tough
one. There's a whole lot of, you know, they literally take the first 20 minutes of the original and stretch it out to 90 minutes. It's just like, come on, you know, like,
yeah,
and nobody's scared anymore. You're like, because like we all know the premise, and so when they do that, have you checked the children? Like, and in current times or even 2006, you're like, all right, here we go, you know,
right?
Okay,
it could have been a short film, or
well, it started off as a short film.
Yeah.
The original When a Stranger Calls was just a short, and they sold that to, they said, we want to do that. And they're like, okay, let's make the short the first act and then add two more acts. And so that's how the original film came about.
Because it's based on an urban legend that's a few pages long, if anything. So,
yeah. And so, but anyway, so I did that. I'm like, and I kind of a completist. So, because obviously I've done the other locations. So for the first original When a Stranger Calls and its sequels, I'm like, all right,
you're a completist.
I better do this one. So, anyway.
Hey, I like that you're putting in the time.
This is what I do.
It's what I do.
Yeah.
Well, we're excited to see that. And we covered When a Stranger Calls, I think, at one point. The original.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think we talked about that. So, but so during my travels, I did some locations. So I was a couple days in Seattle. Actually, I just only did one day of locations. So I didn't do a whole lot, but. I will be excited to post. So, I started rewatching 6 Feet Under,
it's a great show.
It's like, where's this? You know, the opening titles with the tree and the cemetery. You know,
yeah,
it was actually shot in Seattle. So I was like,
oh,
I need to find those spots. So I went to a couple locations, and I'll be sharing those later, which was kind of
nice,
fun. And then
score
while I was there, you know, I'm not a huge fan, but I went to some locations for The Ring,
yeah,
and The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, and a couple other spaces.
That's an old flick. I forgot all about that.
But it's interesting because, yeah, go ahead.
No question about The Ring. I know that was filmed in Seattle area, mm-hmm. but was the house in Seattle as well, or was that a soundstage?
No, that was somewhere else. Like that's somewhere else. Yeah. And okay. I think there's other plots that are parts are in kind of more rural Washington and so forth. And the opening house right. is actually in Los Angeles, of course. Yeah. But
right.
The opening scene. Yeah. But the rainy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rainy. I guess it is rainy LA now, but back then it was not.
No, back then it was nice.
Yeah.
Oh, we're looking forward to seeing that though. You don't have a page currently for The Ring?
No. Oh, because nice. I've just never been to those spots.
Oh, cool.
But anyway, so. So Vancouver was great because I had a lot of catch up to do. So I was in Vancouver last year, but with family, there wasn't really time to do locations. So I did a lot of Yellow Jackets. Did you ever see Summer of 84? I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. So it takes place in 84, of course, and some kids think the neighbor is a serial killer.
I've seen American Horror Story 84,
Yeah, so and a lot of it takes place on this cul-de-sac, and then and Canadians are so nice that I was taking pictures, and an older couple came out from one of the houses, and was like, "Oh, what are you doing?" And you know, I tell them and so forth, and like, "Oh, well, you have to go to the main house and have him take you into the backyard because that's where he buried the butt." You know, like I was like, oh, "Okay," and then he came home where it's where he buried the bodies and stuff like that. Or
who
supposed
did
it in the movie Summer of 84?
Oh, they didn't offer you free health care.
No, and then that owner came home and like, "Oh, we'll introduce you." So they were super nice, and
that's so nice.
Unlike, you know, LA people or unlike Breaking Bad people, you know, like she's like, come on in our backyard and so forth. So
come on in, just pull up a chair.
Yep. So so did Summer of 84, Omen 4, The Awakening, which everybody's just clamoring for. Likewise, Mother May I Sleep with Danger, starring Tori Spelling.
Oh, thank you.
Was shot up there. It's a Wonderful Knife. It's a more recent horror movie. I did some locations. A Joyous Christmas, which I already talked about.
classic Hallmark.
Went to some of the Accused locations.
Ooh,
which
Jodie Foster.
Speaking of Jodie Foster. So the bar is gone, but there's a liquor store there now. So you can still kind of get the same shots with the big bridge and so forth. So, and of course, The Stand.
The Stand. Why don't you go make your stay? This is The Stand 2020.
2020, yeah. So
you had to rewatch it.
I had rewatched it last year because I thought I might have some time to do locations. So last year we were there in December, and we had a lot of family stuff, and it was snowing, and so it didn't really kind of work out. So this time I had a lot of time to hit up a lot of spots for The Stand. And
Christmas came early.
So I was thinking of you because, like, you know, we're Harold runs over on his bike and the alley behind Franny's house.
Yeah.
Just do exteriors, and this was an exterior as well, but I did knock on Franny's house because I asked to take pictures in the backyard and they let me take pictures where Franny buried her father.
No way.
Yes.
I think you're the only one that got that shot.
So
I haven't seen any Stand 2020 filming locations, but
I'm surely not. So I will be expanding that. I went to like where the wharf, you know, where Harold's kind of running around.
Yeah. And they the voiceover saying the governor's going to implement social distancing.
Yep.
Which you could tell was a voiceover from when COVID hit. They're like, throw this in there.
We didn't, you know, take this into account. So where Harold finds a gun and so forth. I had a couple location fails. So, you know, the Boulder Town Square, where they do a lot of scenes, and they had that kind of circular overhead thing or whatever. So,
yeah.
Of course, I pull up. Uh-oh. Demolished. There's a big fence around where it used to be. And I was like, what?
Construction?
And like everything was gone. And so I'm like, well, I'll get some pictures still, whatever. And then the guy is like, can I help? You're like, I was like, oh, I'm just going to pictures It's like, what, when they take this down? He's like, it'll be back next by next summer and it'll be better than ever. I'm like, but it'll be different. He's like, no, it should be the same. I'm like, all right. But
then why do anything?
I was like, it was fine the way it was.
It was fine.
And then the other spot I was really excited because I found it just before I left is the hospital, you know, where a lot of the end takes place. And this is where they kind of whatever.
Yeah.
So turn
the hospital where Mother Abigail dies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So turn the corner, whatever, nothing.
What?
And it was just like a little lady there. It's like, can I help? It's like, it's been demolished, like literally probably within
what are
the
they doing up there?
2 months and stuff like that. So I was like, oh, come on. But, and
what
I know
about,
I sent you,
what about the hospital exteriors? Like the buildings that, demolished?
That's gone. Everything is gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
at least you got Franny's house. That's a better find than the hospital, I think.
And I went to Franny's new house and Harold's new house and
oh really?
And Larry's new house and all sorts of stuff like
that. So if you're in the town, you got the because I think you had this before on your site. Yeah. This is the store where the police car was broken outside and Harold takes the gun.
Yep, that's down by the wharf and stuff like. Oh, and Amber Heard's house, which
oh nice.
That was so hard for me to figure out because there was nothing to go on. And then finally I figured out that same block was used on another movie and I can't remember what it was, and so I kind of did some backwards thing and I could kind of tell, I thought, well, maybe it's this kind of North Vancouver neighborhood. So and speaking of Robert Luck, that, you know, as I come out to this, you know, I park, you know, I'm like walking towards this house because they have great shots like in the driveway looking back, and I really don't want to be too obtrusive, but with Robert Luck, you know, as soon as I'm walking up, she comes out of her house to go to her car, and I'm like, can I take some pictures? And she was super nice. And she goes, oh, and she goes, let me move the trash cans for you. I don't want trash cans in your shot. And that's
the sweetest.
Yeah. So it was great. So I'll at some point be working on The Stand.
Hopefully sooner than later. The world needs this, Robert.
I know. I know. So, and I kept thinking, nobody's doing these locations. No.
You know, it's not your fault. There is a lack of interest in the 2020 Stand. I mean, the 94 stuff, I'm not talking about set jetting in general. I'm talking about in general.
Yeah.
94, you can find the entire thing on YouTube. There's websites, there's things. There's, if you search like 2020 The Stand on YouTube, it's all like promotional clips and like one feedback video. People just like forgot about it.
Nothing's there.
Yeah, it's very strange for such a. I mean, The Stand was voted in a poll. It's like five behind The Bible and two ahead of like Kill a Mockingbird. Like it's like the fifth most important book of all time that people voted for as their favorite. And you think based on that alone, you would get more press on that, and it's like people don't even know it existed.
People don't care. So
they don't care.
Yeah, I did revisit a couple, and I went to one new Jason Takes Manhattan location.
Oh, nice. Which one?
So I went to the alley again. That's
where the cop gets pulled out.
Yep. And then I found, not, I didn't find it, somebody else did, but I it was actually not too far from my hotel where the subway entrance was supposed to be. So I stopped by there. But,
did you bump off somebody's boombox and they said, your dad needs flying bag?
Yeah, so, I had to go into the train, but yeah. So anyway, so it was a pretty productive trip, surprisingly.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
When you were in high school, did you get rewarded with a dirty ship trip to New York Harbor?
I did for graduation? Not. Did you?
Yeah. No, I wish I did, though.
We take the cruise ship from Omaha to New York.
Crystal Lake. I saw on Instagram somebody posted a video that said, when it's cold and rainy, I like to take out my favorite VHS and fire it up. And it was them opening Jason Lives. And I'm like, what? First of all, that's awesome. That's the choice.
Yeah.
And second of all, I'm like, do you still watch VHS? Is that practical? And I was it's not practical. I get collecting them.
Yeah.
Because I still keep my VHSs, but I don't watch them because it's just not practical. What do you think about that?
I could see a certain kind of kitsch thing to it. Cause you know, like, oh, this is what we had, you know, this is how we had to look. It is crazy to see how much they're going for. Like, I was like, oh, I guess I shouldn't have gotten rid of my Nightmare on Elm Street VHS pan and scans, you know, but we kept leveling up. And same thing, I was like, I will never watch this again. And no. Who knows? I'm not even sure how much those weren't made to last more than X amount of years anyway. So who knows what
exactly
you even kind of watch them. And you would, kids don't know, it's like the more you watch, the more you wore them out. It's not like DVDs.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You watch them and it's done. I still have my double VHSs of Scarface, Titanic, and Braveheart.
Oh yeah.
And I think they're not worth anything. I think you can get,
who knows?
Because everybody had them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's an account, I don't know if the person's crazy or not on Twitter or an X, but all they do is collect Titanic VHSs, and they have a room and all walls are filled with VHSs, and that's all you see. And then he'll post, got another one today, and he puts it on there, and there's literally like 400 copies.
Yeah.
And I'm like, first of all, you're insane. Second of all, like, where are you getting these? It's just like crazy. But hey, apparently they're on the up and up. I don't know.
It's like the vinyl of today, I guess.
All about the physical media, though, as I know you are. I'm not shitting on that.
We have to hold on to that. So, but I did want to make note, because speaking of The Stand, that Cary Sinise's son passed away. So
yeah, poor guy.
Obviously way too young. I know it was a kind of rare form of cancer, but it's too bad.
He was 33. And Gary Sinise, he's just one of those, every actor like that everybody loves, you know? His son, Mac, passed away. So your thoughts, Gary? Thoughts and prayers, sir. Good looking kid too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Gary Sinise jeans, come on.
Yeah, good looking dude. I saw Gary Sinise when I was first moved to LA. He was eating at Maggiano's in Woodland Hills. And I was like, it's Stu Redman. When I met Ed Harris, I'm like, I loved you in The Stand. These actors like couldn't give a shit about these movies. So, and then I'm
the
like,
fuck are you talking about, kid? Yeah.
Not like your workout for veterans or Forrest Gump, but The Stand.
That's what you say. Like when I meet Kathy Bates, I'm like, you were great in The Stand.
I loved you as Ray Flowers.
Like, she'd be like Gwyneth Paltrow. Like, I was in The Stand.
Oh. Okay. That's hilarious. But no, it's back to just to close that is, we're very sorry, Gary. That's definitely some sad news. Good call mentioning that.
I'm sure you will watch The Stand in his memory again.
Please do. The 4K version, not 4K, the HD version on YouTube is pretty good quality.
Yeah.
For free. YouTube doesn't like refute it.
They don't even care.
They don't. And the Langoliers too. They're like, just have at it.
Langoliers would be better and not 4K. It's just like, let's make this as hazy as possible.
It is actually kind of hazy. But I wanted to read books I'm reading. I know this is a different ballgame than set jetting, but I'm an avid reader. I don't know if you are. You read books, but apparently you are.
Well, I'm not quite a reader anymore. I used to be. I have a whole So I my high school job, throughout my I guess last 2 to 3 years of high school was at the public library.
Cool.
It was one cushy job because we're not late evenings and Sundays were closed and whatever. So super easy. But kids back then, we didn't have everything we have now. So books were what we had and magazines and the movie magazines. And that's where I kind of got all information. So I became an avid reader. And also kind of equate that. I think that avid readers equals better writers, because the more you write and read, the better kind of writer you become. So quite a bit nowadays, not so much. And I've kind of been doing more audiobooks, and you're probably going to share what you're reading. So right now I'm listening to I Am Barbara, which is the Barbara Streisand's recent released autobiography. One of the reasons I'm listening is because she is reading it. And so I'm obviously more curious to how I assume she's mostly reading word for word, but obviously with audiobooks, she also interjects when she's talking about a song. She plays a little bit of the song and different things. And I have a feeling just the way she talks about that, she's been adding some stuff as she goes, like, I remember, and in one hand, it's a lot of it's really interesting. And she's kind of pretty, some things she's pretty humble, but she has no qualms about, I'm going to read you this quote about me. Barbara is the most fantastic actor, you know, like, you know, like, oh, I think he's right, you know, and that comes up quite a bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think it's the audiobook is over 40 some hours.
That's a long book.
Yeah. So, and I'm like 18 hours into it. Now, part of me wants to flip ahead and find when she talks about the mirror has two faces, but I'm holding ground, you know, and it's interesting, you know, cause, but she does have a lot of, you know, she mentions Omaha, Nebraska, because she was talking about her interactions with Marlon Brando. And she goes,
oh, yeah.
And it's just interesting because, you know, Barbara Streisand is like, now Marlon was born in Omaha, Nebraska, and like, you know, like she has got all this stuff, but
I love that.
So, but yeah, so it's been interesting so far, and yeah, I'm glad she's sharing so much of her story.
Yeah. What a life. I'm definitely going to check that out for sure. I like that you worked in the library too. I feel like that's a, I mean, I'm dating myself, but I, you know, remember growing up, you went there for book reports and to do research, and there was something like special about putting the work in and not getting it from a computer. Of course, as soon as computers came out, I'm like, fuck this. Here we go.
Oh, the card catalog and Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah. And if they didn't have it, you,
that was it.
Yeah. That was it. You're like, I don't have it.
Yeah.
I use the Libby app. Do you use that at all?
I have not. No.
It's the library app, and it works like a library. Gotcha. So, I'm listening right now to, were you going to say something? I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I'm listening to John Adams, the book by David McCulloch, which is 30 hours. I thought that was long because I'm only at 18%. And that's a Matthew book, but it's probably the best presidential biography I've read to date. It's just, I mean, it's such a well-reviewed book, and it's taken almost verbatim from his letters because he kept a large correspondence.
Did he read it himself?
I'm drawn off. Then on the Libby app, I'm listening to Ben McKenzie's book, Officer Ben Sherman, I think I told you about. Called Easy Money. It's about talking about how crypto is a fraud and all this stuff, but he does the audio on that, which is great. But the Libby app works as long as you have a library card. You can download and listen to any audiobook or read any book that they have, and if it's out, you can put it on hold, and you actually have to wait. And the reason they do that is because otherwise you're just giving free copies out. They actually had to be donated to the library, but it's free. It's actually kind of fascinating. I'm addicted to it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah. So,
but anyway, that's books we're reading. So I Am Barbara, I'm going to have to check it out.
So my sister had a free Audible, whatever, so she kind of gifted me, which is interesting because it could be Audible's a 2-hour audiobook or a 48-hour audiobook. So. And so speaking of Barbara, so she just received the SAG Lifetime Achievement Award. And so somebody sent me a clip. And so I didn't see the whole, I'm sure beforehand they did this smatter, you know, like a best of or whatever, but I do know, the image they use that they leave on stage when they have her come on live is from A Mirror Has Two Faces.
No, I'm like, yes. Yes. You're serious. That out of her entire career?
Yes. And I was like, yes. I loved that they chose A Mirror Has Two Faces shot of her.
Oh, that is so great. So, I got to find it. Yeah. Oh, wow. Hey, you know, you've praised that movie a lot. And it's finally people are taking notice.
And it's only on DVD. Still. Hold on right here. I'll show you right.
Oh, I love this.
The second. So the image will, you'll kind of see it first thing when you kind of click on the YouTube link.
Okay.
And then as she walks on, you can kind of see that.
I can't wait.
It's behind her. So
we are in Oscar season, by the way. We'll have to do some Oscar shows coming up.
Yes. So I can't think of a more wonderful tribute.
Oh, this is great.
Amira has two faces.
This is great.
There it is. Yeah. And she's probably like, Jesus, out of all my pictures.
Yeah, right. It's so random. It would be like giving Tom Cruise an achievement award and putting like him in Willow or something. Yeah, and you're like, okay.
Like, all right, yeah, I guess if that's what you're gonna do. But anyway,
was he in Willow or he was in Legend?
He was not in Willow. That was Val Kilmer.
He was Legend.
Legend. Yeah, yeah. It would be. Yeah, there'd be trouble if it was a non Tom Cruise movie.
Non Tom Cruise. I love that so much.
Anyway, I was like, put it on. Let's skip right to 4K. She's like, no, because there's a reason it's out of focus.
You're the king of obscure references that stick with you, and they're like, they're really good. Like, I never would have probably watched The Mirror of Two Faces, let alone heard of it, unless I like really went. But now, like, I appreciate it, and I get how they're all like, oh, this teacher's fantastic. And you're like, she's just a teacher, but they're all like, she has groupies and it's ridiculous, but it's, yes, it's a good movie on its own. Like, I feel like it has some good heart to it.
It has. I also want to share what came in the mail while I was gone.
Oh, nice. Oh, all three DVD?
4K. Yeah. 4K. First time in Beverly Hills Cop 3 and 4K.
I don't even want to open it. Look how sharp that looks.
Who can wait? It smells like Christmas to me.
Is that a Kino Lorber?
No, this is Paramount. Yeah, so for some, I think one, they're trying to cut because the new Beverly Hills Cop movie is coming out in Netflix
in June.
June. Whew. It's probably going to be like Jaws 4 makes Jaws 3 look like Citizen Kane. It's going to be the same thing. Yeah.
Beat 3 though. I mean,
Beverly Hills Cop, The Revenge. Yeah. This time it's personal.
This time it's personal. Shark still looks fake.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. This is a surprise you put this in because I didn't know this came out yet, but there's a Twisters trailer.
Yes. You did not know that?
I did not.
All right.
Do you want to give it a play?
Do you want to watch it together? Or, yeah.
I think we need to.
Can we, are you able to do that? So I only saw it once, if that gives you a clue, but.
Wow. I must be very behind on my trailers because.
It was part of the Super Bowl.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe I was on setjetter.com.
You were just too busy like going down the... I think so. You were busy watching The Stand again. Just saying.
All right. This is this is the official trailer for Twisters.
Guys, whatever's in there, it's big and it's moving fast. Drive.
Go, 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 go.
Guys, you gotta get out of here, do you hear
me? It's Tyler Owens. He calls himself the Tornado Wrangler.
If you feel it,
Jason!
I said if you feel it,
Jason!
She's gorgeous.
You thought you could destroy a tornado.
We never had a chance.
You want one? You don't face your fears. You ride them.
That was a drone in there?
Nope.
Obviously, I'm going to see Twisters.
Of course, yeah.
Well, no, without Bill Paxton and, of course, sadly, Helen Hunt. I'll tell you what, my honest reaction, if there was never a movie called Twister, I wouldn't think twice about seeing this. But because it is Twisters, of course we're going to see it.
Of course, yeah. So it's obviously in requel territory, where it's like it's a sequel, but obviously they're just kind of seem to be remaking it and keep waiting for the days of stiff and dirt are over. I mean, it seems like the same, you know,
same
like,
plot. And they're like, that's so-and-so Silas. You just wanted to go, he's in it for the money, not the science.
Luckily, he was conceived right before his dad died, you know, like, So the thing is, it's hard to look at it because, like, the special effect, you know, we were still on the wowed stage in, you know, 93 and 96, you know, between Jurassic Park and Twister, of like, you know, this is like new visual, you know, it was like we had not seen that type of stuff. And now this is, the effects look great, but we're also, it's not impressive anymore, you know?
Yeah.
But
we're too oversaturated with the senses.
And we're like, oh, we're not scared of that. But it seems like, obviously, we'll go see it and we'll make judgment then. But
of course. And hey, to be able to say you're seeing Twister in July again, I mean, that was like, that summer was, I'm all in. Like, that's exciting.
The best. Yeah. So,
where, that actor I know from Top Gun Maverick, right?
Glenn Powell. Yeah. So, he's kind of the new Cary Elwes, but obviously he's kind of seemed to be playing like they're in it for the wrong reasons.
The wrong reason.
They're in it for the money. We'll see. And obviously, so I assume it takes place in the same universe because they have Dorothy there, one of the Dorothys. And so I imagine it's, tied. Yeah.
So it's not a reboot. It's a
requel.
Got it. Okay.
So,
all right.
As far as I can tell. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. I didn't know that came out. That was exciting though. I'm glad we're finally seeing some movement.
Certainly better than the trailer for Axel F.
Oh, absolutely. Kevin Bacon going, I almost admire you. It's like, what? You should admire him. He's 60 and he's still a cop. Sure.
It's not just a movie title. It's also a grade.
It's awesome. Axel. Oh, I'm not prepared for the next one. Was that something?
No, I think you put that. I can't remember.
I did.
We can save that for until we're better prepared. But yeah, I saw you also mentioned we lost another person today.
Yes, Richard Lewis, the great comedian, probably the best comedian for self-deprecation. Of course, I know him from Curb Your Enthusiasm and Men in Tights, but he passed away at 76. He was another person that I've never met, but I've seen him at a Gelson's once. And I was like, hey, it's Richard Lewis.
It's you.
Yeah. And he looks like, he just looked like the guy you see him on TV. And you're like, oh.
I assume he just looked like him.
He just looks like him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah,
which
it's
is also a norm. He was never obviously a movie star looking person.
No. Yeah. But yeah, he passed away. Yeah, so RIP Richard Lewis. He was a great comedian for sure.
For sure.
I want to merge Blind Man's Bluff and movies you can watch over and over again, if that's okay.
Yes.
But this
it's
is a
your
web
show.
It's our show, Robert. Pee-wee's Big Adventure, 1985. Today marks the 35th. This is obviously from Robert's website, setchair.com. Pee-wee's Big Adventure was first released on August 9th, 1985. And here are some several locations that Robert has visited over the years. What can you tell us about this page, Robert?
Let me just pull it up here because I'm not looking at it. So I was a wee 15-year-old when this movie came out. And Pee-wee, we kind of knew who Pee-wee was, but he obviously this kind of moved into the stratosphere. So,
did you see it in the theater? Were you?
Of course.
Did you really?
Oh,
nice.
It was a huge, I think it was opening day. Yeah, opening night.
Oh,
I would always go to opening night. So if you saw my high school calendar, which I had a calendar, I would write in every Friday what movie we were seeing.
So cool.
And then sometimes kids, two movies would come out in the same weekend. And so sometimes we had to see the next one on Saturday.
So you're seeing like Pee Wee and Invaders from Mars.
Yeah. We're like, whatever. How am I going to see both? And then, you know, LA people recognize it. The Tour de France is not in France, but Calabasas.
Yeah. It works.
It kind of works. I don't think France probably has all these huge electrical.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But hey. Yeah. Save on the budget.
And then it kind of ends at the King Gillette Ranch, which has been used in many locations, but still pretty recognizable. You know, those trees look about the same to me. So,
what's a movie that was filmed here, Robert?
So if you go a little farther up the road, Nurse Ratched or Ratched, the TV series.
Oh,
was shown,
right
over here. So, and they kind of come up and down this road as well, but it's been used in a lot. So, Pee-wee's house, obviously it's still pretty recognizable. It's not the bright red it ever was, but this is between this isn't South Pasadena, and not too. It's probably a you know two. I think it's about two blocks from the opening shot of Halloween, and the bushes, the hedges where he sees Michael. And on the other, if you go another two blocks, you know you have the Rialto and the Shocker House. And actually, if you go, I think almost catty corner to this house is the house from Waitress. So this is important block, and
And the house was painted red for the film.
I would assume so, because they're probably just trying to make it kind of garishly looking, and so forth. But yeah, so.
That's a great. Now question: is this house? This isn't visited a lot by fans.
It is. Oh, it definitely is.
It is,
and it's interesting because it's in the middle of all these other Halloween fans go to this location a lot, and then. When Paul Rubens passed away, they've left a lot of flowers and stuff kind of right in those fences. But yeah, so this one
is... Okay, so it's pilgrimaged a lot, as it should be. It's a classic.
Oh, absolutely. And it looks like it does, you know, so... Yeah. You can't miss it. It's not too far off the beaten path in South Pasadena, so...
Oh, I love it. I love that. North Hollywood Park, I know where this is.
Yeah, so this is... You know, the park looks pretty much the same, and I think this is also the park where they shot... and Say Anything, where has his hand. He's supposed to be looking up at a house, and I think he's actually in this park. I think that's the same park. But
oh yeah,
yeah. So
great shot.
So here's the kind of corner where, if you go to that third shot right there. So the house you see in the background, in my shot, is the house in Waitress. So that was the doctor's house.
Oh, cool.
In Waitress. So.
Oh, nice.
But yeah. So yeah, this is all.
That's a great scene.
All within walking distance of a lot of great locations in South Pass.
Of course. Yeah. Get down.
And then, this
is the made-to-order house.
Oh, it's next to the made-to-order house. So.
Oh.
Which actually it worked out because years ago I'd been looking for the made-to-order house and we kept walking. I'm like, oh, here it is. So.
But, that is so cool.
This house has been used in quite a few different things. Usually it's either a frat house or a rich person's house. And
I can see that. Yeah, I can totally see the frat house. It makes sense. This is Rain Through the Alley at Warner Brothers Studios.
Oh, yes. So very recognizable. Nothing like. Let's talk about the Spider-Man kiss.
Of course. of course. That's great.
So pretty recognizable kind of where all that took place. And then obviously literally walks right into where
the Mogwai shop.
Yeah, the Mogwai shop, which is but also where he gets his cards read and he puts him on his adventure to go find his bike. So
yes, that's so exciting. The old road in Newhall, California.
Yeah, Newhall, California. Obviously, a little bit more updates, but it looks essentially the same. And
yeah, the infrastructure is crumbling here, so it'll probably keep reverting back.
It'll keep.
It'll look more and more like it did in time.
This little kind of split off section, it's interesting that there used to be no lights there or anything. Like, were people just on their own, you know, like
I've seen this on your site on different it wasn't Psycho, but it was something like that where you're like, what did we do back then?
Yeah, just good luck.
We just on our own, like, hey, you know, good luck to you. Close your eyes and hope.
Yeah. So they did actually go to the Alamo down in San Antonio. So, and from what I remember, I think it was kind of rogue filmmaking. Like they just quickly did it. They were there a day and I don't even know if they had filming permits, but they just kind of quickly like get some true establishing shots.
You've been
I think. Yeah. So, Madonna was down in San Antonio.
I like how you go for Madonna. Shows.
Yeah. Why else would you go?
Well,
yeah,
that's true. Why would you? See, San Antonio and Mount Rushmore are like two places I'm dying to go to see the Alamo and that, but it's a place you wouldn't go to just for that. You like need another reason.
And I went to several movie locations there because obviously that and Miss Congeniality and Cloak and Dagger. So there's some great locations. The crappy thing about this, like if you're looking at the Alamo, great. If you turn around, it looks like Niagara Falls of weird shops and Ripley's Believe It or Not. It's just yucky stuff.
I do remember seeing pictures where it's, and it doesn't look as big as I thought it would be.
No, it's.
It's like the size of a big house.
Yeah. And then I got in line because you could take pictures inside. You could go inside, but then once you got in, I was like, there's no pictures inside. I'm like, forget it.
Yeah. Oh, you can't take pictures inside?
Yeah, for some reason. It's too special. Yeah.
Do you have other pictures from this trip?
Yeah.
From the Alamo, I mean?
Yeah, Miss Congeniality was in front of the Alamo, and Cloak and Dagger, and so forth. Oh. Yeah,
that's cool. I think that's pretty interesting, though.
But the interiors were actually shot up in Mission Hills, so
I've been inside.
So this is where Bob Hope is also buried, and so I've not updated this because I have better shots that I need.
Richie
to
Richie Valens too.
So it's a nice little place.
Adobe.
And then the gift shop is the actual gift shop.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is fantastic.
That is fantastic.
And then I think, I love Jan Hooks. There's me being Jan Hooks.
Oh, I love it. Oh, nice. I like the shirt.
Yeah. Oh, that's the Madonna Kia Forum shirt for Rebel Heart. They made a special shirt just for LA.
Oh, for Forum Moderators?
For the Forum. The Forum. Rebel Heart at the Forum.
Oh, just for the concert?
Just for one concert. Yeah. That's a special shirt they made. So.
Oh, that's a nice shirt.
Yeah.
Do you still have it?
Of course I do.
Oh,
of course I do. Yeah, what do you think I would do? Question. And I shredded that thing. Yeah.
I'm going to get you a Madonna shirt when you come to LA. But you have to wear it at the show.
We'll see. We'll see.
What shirt are you going to wear on your flight? It's not the old one, right? Because
On the flight, I always wear the same shirt. So.
Which is what?
A Madonna Drowned World Tour shirt.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
And you've worn that through like tens of... Close to 100 flights?
Every year, almost 20 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing, though, not to ADHD and go off the trail, but when you have shirts longer than 20 years, like I have shirts that are 20 years old.
Yeah.
And you're like I have a Hard Rock Cafe Cayman Island shirt. It doesn't even exist anymore. Mm. And you're like, yeah, this is old. This is an old shirt.
This is, yeah.
It's like kind of cool. It's a little piece of you.
Yeah.
Oh, so, one more shot from the Alamo.
One more shot at the Alamo. And then for the next location, I need to update these because I just went out here for other locations. So the bus terminal is kind of the former Central Air Terminal over in Glendale, right next to Burbank.
Oh.
And so.
A real bus terminal?
Yeah. It was an airport, I think.
Really?
At the time.
In Glendale?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why it kind of looks like the way it looks. And so. I went there to do some Alias filming locations last year, and so nice. I have some better shots that I kind of got into the spot where I needed to go. So,
oh wow, this is a cool spot.
Yeah, so obviously this has changed quite a bit. So this was the bar where
isn't Canyon Country a little like rough around the edges?
I don't. It seemed to be okay.
It's okay.
Yeah,
maybe it's just in the news. There's a lot of meth problems there.
Yeah, so.
But where isn't there?
But where? Yeah, what are you talking about? Like, that could be anywhere. So.
That could be anywhere. This is cool.
Yeah. Then back to Warner Brothers, of course, which actually Warner Brothers playing itself on the lot. And
Robert and I have many years
at Warner Brothers. Yes. So.
Green light and deals.
Yeah.
Okay, this shot I have a question about.
Yes.
This is on the lot?
Yep.
Was this used in Gilligan's Island?
No.
What was this for?
So this was used. This is their. It's been used in a lot. I'm trying to think. Like, what's the Tom Cruise kind of?
Tom Cruise films with water.
Yeah, it wasn't a show.
Far, far away.
No, I can't think of it right now. But it's been used. Like, I mean, this was it was the end. The close-ups for the Muppet movie, and this was used in ER, and it shows up everywhere. Anytime you see a lake, it's anymore. This is like this is the last existing one. So, and I've been there times where the lake is actually full, which is kind of nice to kind of see.
That is kind of nice.
Yeah, but
okay, it just looked very familiar.
Yeah,
sure, we've seen it. This is the house. This is when Pee Wee leaves Warner Brothers Studios, lands in Warner Brothers Ranch.
Yeah,
which is also the house from Gremlins and Monster Squad and Bewitched. Yeah.
Yep. So, as we kind of click through, so this is the back of the house. This is Mr. Futterman's house, and this is the front of a house, and then you can see there's the Bewitched house, right?
Great lineup
to
here
to the right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, but
Will Ferrell's finest role.
Of course. What would it be? So,
this is great. Great page.
But and then I think the next location is also at Warner's, the pet shop. As we go down, was back at the lot, and
nice.
This changes all the time, but
This facade.
This was also the hair salon and Don't Mess with the Zohan and all sorts of stuff. So yeah.
Sandler. Oh, yeah. Really? Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Oh,
I
yeah.
See it. Yeah.
I do like that movie.
That is a good movie. It Don't is, mess. So.
I like that something, you know that. Something about it. So,
Simone. Diane Salinger.
Yeah. So it's a nice, she dresses up in her waitress uniform.
I love it. Oh, it's so cool. Yeah. So, where is this, Robert?
I think it's a Hollywood show, which I'll be coming to the Hollywood show on Saturday.
Oh, even there's one this weekend?
Even though it's Saturday right now, of course.
Well, but, yeah. Put me down. If you want me to tag along, let me know. Yeah.
I will be there. So let's meet up.
Yes.
And see, please. We'll see if Brian is going to be there too.
Bring Brian.
We'll see if anybody, I think fake Jan is going to be there.
Who?
Fake Jan. She played the Jan Brady in the when Eve Plum bowed out of some of the Variety Hour, and so she came.
Oh, okay.
She played the Jan role, so people call her Fake Jan. But
Fake Jan, nice.
Yeah.
Eve Plum bowed out, so she.
Yeah, she's like, in. I have had enough. So, and I think there's been a couple. Yeah, Elizabeth Daly, I've met.
Nice.
Morgan Fairchild, of course, looking like, and there's Mrs. Barbara, current Mrs. Barbara Streisand, or Mr. Barbara Streisand.
Yes, there he is, the great Mr.
James
Brolin. Roland,
yeah,
we know him from Amityville and Capricorn One, of course.
I wonder if she'll talk about Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
please do.
Some of these things, it's interesting because I'm like, some of these movies she mentions, I can't ever imagine coming out of Barbara's mouth, and they do. And so, some part of it is just kind of like, we're just like, it'd be her like, and he starred in You Don't Mess with the Zohan. I'm like, how would she that even hit her radar? Not that she's that uppity, you know, but still,
expect to hear that.
No, yeah. So I enjoy those little tidbits from I won't call her Babs, from Barbara.
It's like, it's funny when you hear that, when you hear like Jennifer Aniston like talk about Leprechaun, like they a lot of times they're like, yes, what do you want me to do? I did it. Like everybody starts out somewhere, you know, like it's funny. What's the move? That's a great page, by the way. That's Pee Wee's Big Adventure. If you're listening, it's of course on setchatter.com. Robert, the Chainsaw Massacre with Matthew McConaughey, and that was like the year before they became famous, right?
Yeah, so they shot it, sat on the shelf for a few years, like 2 or 3 years, I think, because they showed it at one of the film festivals, and then I don't know what happened. They needed to retool it or whatever, and then I can't remember what happened, but literally it was not released for years, and by the time they got to release it, they had both became after, what's the Tom Cruise movie she's in?
Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, and then obviously he had done Days Confused and whatever, and so they became, and so there's rumors that they tried to stop it. And I'm not sure if it was actually them or probably their agents or, you know, whatever happened to be.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. But since that time, they both actually talked about it. So, Renee Zellweger in particular, she goes, she was actually had kind words. She goes, it was our first, we were learning. I didn't know what was going on.
Really?
And so she actually had some kind stuff to say, and, you know, without trash. And I don't talk about that or whatever. So yeah, which is nice to hear.
It is nice to hear.
Yeah. So, but
I own that movie too. Like, I mean, when it first came out, it was at Blockbuster, and they marketed it, if you remember, as Matthew McConaughey, Renee Zellweger.
Yeah.
And at the time it was like pre-internet and stuff. And you're like, oh, this is like a weird choice. I don't remember seeing this in the theaters. Like, you thought it was like a new movie. So we bought it, and you're like, oh, this is like the worst thing ever. And you realize it was before, but then you're like, it's kind of cool that they, such a low budget movie, they got these two actors to appear in that. And that makes the movie like a fun ride.
It, otherwise it would also, we wouldn't be talking about it, or be like another blip.
Exactly.
The Texas Chainsaw.
The end where he's in the street flipping around with the chainsaw, and you're like, what it, we were laughing at that, but it's like, I don't know. I kind of like it.
Yeah, still not a good movie, for sure.
Still not a good movie. Still not a good movie.
But yeah, so, and I went to that house, actually. So.
Oh, really?
And they actually let me take pictures in the backyard and stuff like that, which was nice. So, which is scary, because Texas, you never know.
No, you don't know. It's like super scary.
Do I knock on the door, or do I get shot? I don't know.
Everybody's carrying. Yeah.
And that house is actually almost in spitting distance of the house from the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
So, oh, I love it. Which is the piss hand. What's the song? It's like, I can't remember, but oh, it's such a fun movie. Oh. And of course, I Will Always Love You is in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You've done that locations for that movie.
For Big Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. I did a couple, because I did. Obviously, the house was right there. And then they kind of rebuilt the house on Universal Studios for closer shots. And then their city hall or capital, I mean, I think it's for capital. They had a couple indoor shots. So I kind of matched those up, but yeah.
But fascinating. I think that's I'm really interested that, in your Texas stuff. I mean, all of your stuff, I'm fascinated with, obviously.
now you want to go like down another to Texas. Country to me. Yeah. Well, it is another country.
Well, yeah, like those places you went for like some of the Texas chainsaws. Mm-hmm. And like, I wouldn't go down there. I'm like, Robert's got balls.
It is a little different. So a couple things. So like my last visit to Texas was when all the floods were happening. And that's so scary. It was scary for a couple of reasons. Like one, like the hotel I was staying at was interesting because when I come back at night, the parking lot was full of like white pickup trucks. Cause these were all the workers that were going farther south to do flood work and whatever. And they'd be gone in the morning by the time I got up. The second scary part is that this is where there was gas shortages and gas stations had no gas. They were closed and whatever. And so I'm doing all this driving around. And so I'd start to hit a panic when I'd hit a quarter tank because I'd have the gas app or something on and there'd be nothing for like 15 miles. There are no gas stations open with gas and stuff like that. So I was like, how am I going to do this?
That's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then let's get your sweaty palms.
The third part is you're going down some of these Texas highways and you do feel like you're in Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah. It just gives you the willies.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's some people I was like, what am I doing here? You know, but
yeah, no, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, so between those three things, I was like, oh, I don't know what...
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I love it. I like that you're...
But there was still... And some of the floods were close enough that...
That's scary.
I had to reroute. Some highways were closed and stuff like that. I had to kind of go around, but yeah.
That is scary. Yeah, we are okay. But thank you for giving us those great, great shots on setfitter.com.
Absolutely.
You're a national treasure, and I'm really excited to see you this weekend. I'm so excited that you're coming in. You're going to see Madonna and... Hollywood show.
Look at the Hollywood show lineup to see who's there.
I'm going to wear my Children of the Corn shirt.
I don't know if there's going to be any Children of the Corn people, unfortunately, but there'll be people like Lonnie Anderson will be there. And
oh, I love Lonnie Anderson.
Flash Gordon will be there. Sam Jones. Tony Danza will be there.
Wow.
So Priscilla Presley will be there. So
interesting.
Yeah, so it's going to be kind of
Ask people, that should be my shtick, is were you in Children of the Corn? And they go, no, I'll go. And I'll act uninterested all of a sudden.
Like, oh, never mind.
Oh, never mind.
So,
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun. And it's, of course, Hollywood show at the Burbank Marriott.
Burbank Marriott Airport Hotel.
Nice. Hotel.
But Maxwell Caulfield will be there from Grease too. So
nice.
I've never met him before.
Oh,
my old friend Linda Gray from Dallas will be there. So
nice.
Oh, Rena Riffle will be there.
Who?
Well, you may know her best from Showgirls and Showgirls 2.
Oh yes, we've talked about that one.
So
she's the lead in Showgirls 2?
Yes.
Oh.
So
this is cool.
I'm betting that she will be selling her DVD. I wonder if there's a 4 hours director's cut that she's going to be selling.
No, you got to get it. First, I've never been there. Do you bring a lot of? Do you recommend bringing cash?
Yes.
What do you bring? Like $200?
It kind of depends on how many people I'm seeing, but yeah, it costs for sure. So, but
Patrick Duffy will be there.
Yeah, I met him before. I've seen him before, at least. I don't know if I've met him. So Susan Blakely, star of Concord Airport 79, will be there.
Oh,
so,
nice. I like Airport 79.
All the stars will be there.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, there's a couple of actresses in particular that are kind of not super known. Mindy Cohn from Facts of Life will be there playing Natalie from Facts of Life. So, but yeah, so they have a good lineup. Of course, a number of stars kind of don't show, you know, at the last minute, but I'm kind of most excited to meet Lee Taylor Young. So she was in, for me, Looker and Secret Admirer are two of my favorite movies. So, and she is somebody we still say lines from Secret Admirer from 1985.
Oh, then you know it's a staple.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to be spouting those lines back to her. And she's like, what are you talking about? I might try to have her record a line for my sister because we still say nobody wants to define fixed costs.
You got to do it.
And every feeling should be like, that was a line of mine. You know, like, but anyway. But,
hey, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
There is reunions there. Clint Howard will be there. Mm-hmm. Jungle Book reunion and Gentle Ben. Also Hunter, which I totally forgot about that show. Oh, yeah. It wasn't a bad show.
Yeah.
But this one I'm excited for is the Star Trek Hollywood show. Robert Pine.
Oh, will he be there? Okay.
I'm looking at their website. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That means they'll be there. Joan Collins will be there. Yeah, it looks
that's
like
exciting. They're
doing, yeah. Rock and roll high school reunion.
Robert Pine, of course. I never watched Star Trek, but I am a big fan of Chips. So.
Of course. Well, and they were supposed to have Eric Estrada and the other guy, but they have canceled, unfortunately. So, yeah. So,
nobody knows his name. It's so sad.
I know. Larry Wilcox? Yeah.
It's Larry Wilcox. Yeah. But it's always Eric Estrada and the other guy.
Do you know who else was supposed to be there? Stephen Williams, who I think he was on 21 Jump Street or whatever, but he also played Creighton Duke in Jason Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday.
Yeah. Wait, he didn't pass away, did he?
No, but okay. I don't think so. I think they would hopefully just say canceled due to
Creighton
death,
Duke, the but... the little girl anagrams in that movie is like, what were you doing?
I don't know. I was like, I feel like he was ad-libbing that. It was just strange. I'm like, what is going on?
It was a little strange.
Yeah.
But that's exciting. I'm excited to do that. That's good times.
Let's do it. See you Saturday.
See you Saturday, and great to have you back. I say back like I live with you. Like, good thing you came home.
Yeah.
Robert, I fed Murphy. And... anyway.
Poor Murphy. You have to always give him a shout out. So.
Yeah, Murphy's our biggest fan. We love Murphy.
Yes, yeah.
But thank you for listening to the podcast. We'll set Jetter Saturdays, and we'll see you.